so in my head that I wasn't able to get out of my own way to hear anything. Because if you're ruminating, if you're, you know, doing that negative self-talk and it's going over and over and over again, you don't have space to hear the messages, to get the guidance.
Right. Yeah.
I'm Ebony, and I believe that stories change lives, and everyone has a story worth telling. Sometimes, unfortunately, we let our self-doubt get in the way of us writing our stories and sharing our stories. So that's why I created Motivation to Write as a source of motivation and inspiration to help writers like you and me share our stories with the world. So I talk to the experts ranging from entrepreneurs to marketers to authors to therapists to psychologists who share their knowledge and their advice to help writers like you and me step into our full potential. Welcome to Motivation to Write. I'm happy to have you because I have Marla Goldberg as a guest. So let's learn a little bit more about Marla Goldberg. Marla Goldberg is an energy healer, intuitive, speaker, teacher, the host of Guided Spirit Conversations podcast, and the best-selling author of My Effing Long Journey to Loving Myself, A Guide to a Shorter Path. Marla's mission for this book is to help others learn how to release anger, frustration, and stress, how to forgive others and themselves, learn self-acceptance, and ultimately self-love. Prior to beginning her spiritual quest, Marla was a serial entrepreneur, founding and running 4 businesses during her professional career. In 2003, Marla's life hit rock bottom. Feeling lost and not having anyone to turn to, Marla saw a promotion for a women's conference where she met her first spiritual teacher, and her journey began. Marla attended a 3-year mystery school and by graduation learned 14 healing techniques. Marla continues to build on her education, having learned 24 healing modalities to date. During this time, she became certified as a spiritual response therapist and an intuitive life coach. Her newest book, My Sacred Journal, A Place to Share Your Hopes, Dreams, and Desire, is an interactive journal that works in conjunction with her first book to help better the reader's life through inspiration and motivation. So, I have so much I want to talk to you about, and you have a fabulous website. I enjoy looking at some of your videos and reading your information, and I'm wondering if you can tell us how you got to this space of being this energy healer and person who is intent on helping people to live their best lives.
So like many people who start down a spiritual path, they had no intent to, and their life just hit rock bottom. Yeah. I was that person, hit rock bottom. And I was like a deer in headlights. I just didn't know what I was going to do, where I was going. And I went to a woman's conference, and there was a woman speaking about how to heal yourself. And I thought, wow, I've got to learn how to do this because what I'm doing isn't working. Little did I know, I was joining a mystery school. Actually,
a mystery school.
And throughout the mystery school, we learned 14 different modalities. It was a 3-year school to get to graduate and then go on for certification. But I was in the middle of my divorce and there was no way I could focus for certification. But yeah, I learned 14 modalities. And what was great about the mystery school is I always paraphrase her mission, but it's like you have to clean your own closets out before you could help anybody else clean theirs. And so yeah, I did a lot of cleaning, lots and lots of cleaning, and I learned a lot of things. I learned how to release the anger and frustration, especially around my divorce, because it took 3 years and it was probably one of the most frustrating divorces, because it didn't have to be. And I'm sure a lot of divorces are like this, but he and his attorneys were really trying to break me. And his attorneys were known for really devastating the other party. Mm. And I'm so grateful I had all the tools that I had, because as I like to say, by the time I got divorced, I was fractured, but I wasn't broken. They didn't have me on my knees, and I was able to live a happy life because I learned, you know, first of all, releasing, you know, because I was the queen represser, you know, like I did Scarlett O'Hara. Oh, I'll just worry about that tomorrow. Repress, you know, and move on like nothing's wrong. But in the meantime, it doesn't help your life when you do that. And at a certain point, And I use carbonated, like the old-fashioned Coke bottle. You can only put so much in before it's going to explode out on you.
Right.
And so that happened to me a couple of times in my life. And so anyway, I started down this path, learned 14 different modalities, thought great. And I figured I just start living my life again, that spirit had other plans for me. Like she kept putting classes in front of me. So I kept taking more and more classes, like Theta Healing, Access Bars. I mean, I just have a litany. So I'm over 25 different modalities at this point.
Can you talk a little bit about modalities? Like what do you mean when you say
techniques. Modalities, okay. Techniques. So I've been trained in probably over 25 of them by now.
Okay.
And I keep continuing education to hone my skills and get better and better at working with people and working with myself.
You know, Marla, I've never heard of a mystery school.
So a mystery school is what they used to call these schools back in the day, like in ancient times, because it was, you know, you really couldn't advertise what kind of school it was. And so it really went into the mystery of, I like to say mystery of the mystics, but it's developed mystics, you know, because you're learning so many things. You're learning, you're opening up your psychic eye. You're learning how to heal people with hands-on, distance, and radiatory. So radiatory is like your hands are near a body, but not on a body. And so it was just fascinating how it worked and how well it worked, and it powerful, powerful stuff. But I didn't think I was going to go in this path. So I just went on my life. I was a serial entrepreneur. I kept starting businesses. And then with my current husband, we were traveling, and all of a sudden I was sound asleep. We were in the hotel room, sound asleep. And this big booming voice screamed into my ear, "You need to start a practice and you need to start helping people." And I jolted out of bed and I, you know, in my panic said, what? And of course I woke my husband up, and neither one of us knew what was going on or why or what was happening. And it, you know, later on I find out it's Jesus screaming, you know, like telling me, you need to help people. And so I started a practice, and then I started wanting to get out to more people. So I have my podcast. I have three books where I'm a collaborator. My own books. So it just, you know, like I never thought I would ever be going down these paths and doing all this. And now my passion is raising consciousness, helping people.
You know, prior to the divorce and going through the mystery school, did you sense that you had a strong intuition?
Not at all.
Really?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I have a dear friend, and she kept saying, "My gut tells me this isn't right," and she was always spot on. I said, I would say, "How come my gut's not working like that?" But I found out the reason why is because I was so in my head that I wasn't able to get out of my own way to hear anything. Because if you're ruminating, if you're, you know, doing that negative self-talk and it's going over and over and over again, you don't have space to hear the messages, to get the guidance.
I study energy healing for a bit, and I can remember one of the instructors saying, you know, you're all up here, you got happening up here, and you need to ground yourself. Like, we spend a lot of time just like planting my feet on the ground and feeling the energies go through my legs, up my body, and just really standing in my power and not just always in my head.
Well, you find people who are in this industry, you know, and they're very airy-fairy, right? They're not grounded at all. And then you find people who are heavily grounded, but are not, they don't have this. The trick is to get, you have the grounding, but have this, and sort of like meet in the middle.
That's great. Okay, so you've been to the mystery school, you had this divorce, which was really a blessing in disguise, because it seems like that's when you really kind of came into this realization of like, this is going to be a new path for myself, helping people through their pain. So can you tell us then how you are, as an energy healer, helping clients through their own stress and through their own roadblocks?
Well, so in my practice, out of everything that I've learned, I mean, I mix things in, but I really work four four modalities or techniques. Yeah. Spiritual response therapy. I'm a certified practitioner. And I love it because it works at clearing blocks, programs, and imprints on your Akashic records or your soul records. And for those who don't know what a soul record is, it's like your hard drive of your life. From the moment of the conception of your soul to the very millisecond, everything that you say, do, think, anything that is done to you is all recorded. And that's what tends to block your flow a lot of times, because we bring a lot of past life stuff into this life, you know, relationships, because we're all reborn in group, in group for, consciousness. So for example, Ebony, you and I have met in a past life, maybe more than one, because you wouldn't be in my life if you didn't. There's very few new souls, and they keep coming in. And like the people in the restaurants, I call them my extras of my life. And I, in turn, are the extras of their life. You know, that, you know, you're just background seat fillers in your life. And in past lives, I did that for them. They did that for me. And, you know, they could be a person passing you by in a crowd.
Right, right. So then the people, so what you're saying is that we reincarnate
in groups.
Okay. So then the people in your lives who you see as this like source of pain, they were, you know, mean to you, they're suing you, they're divorcing you, they're whatever. Is that some type of contract that you made with them before? Or
sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a contract. Sometimes you were a certain way in a past life, and now you have to be the way you, so for example, a story I had heard. So if you were a slave owner back in, you know, the day in the, what is it, 1800s, and you were really abusive, well, you might come back in another life as a slave being abused, so your soul would understand what it is you did to the to the souls when the roles were reversed.
So, it's karmic. Some of it is karmic.
It's very karmic. It can be very, very karmic, yes.
So what do you say to people who are like, this reincarnation nonsense? Yeah. What is
my husband's a skeptic.
Okay.
I mean, I married one of those.
So how do you handle the skeptics?
You know, I don't push myself on anybody, and I don't have to prove myself to anybody. Yeah. And like, for example, I'll talk about my husband, because he's like, I don't believe this. I'm a scientist, and that's what I believe in. And you have to have repeatable results, blah, blah, blah. Well, after being together 11 years, I have to say he certainly asks for my opinion quite a bit. And I'm talking about the ego opinion either.
Right. Yeah.
Because there are too many things that happen where he goes, oh. You know, and so now he would never go to an energy school. I would probably be really safe in saying that. Yeah. But he does know that there's something more out there than meets the eye.
So when we encounter a roadblock, like let's say, for example, you're having an issue with a family member, like there's some disagreement and you guys aren't talking to each other. Is that something that is purely energetic, or is that something that is just based on personality? And
it could be ego, and it could be, you know, control and ego. I have a relative like that. And what I've done is I've forgiven this relative. But just because you forgive someone doesn't mean you want to invite them over and have them at your dinner table.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I say that all the time. I don't have to have you over for Sunday dinner. I forgive you, though, but you're not coming over for dinner.
Right, I let it go. And because, you know, this person had done a number of things to me. And finally, I was strong enough and healthy enough to have really solid boundaries. You know, and it's just like, God bless God. I never wish anybody ill. I mean, the most I might say is I wish you an interesting life, but no ill intent. I just don't need you in mine, because I don't need the toxicity. I never had boundaries growing up. So I didn't know how to put down such strong boundaries. And people scratch their head because, of course, most people don't have boundaries.
Yeah.
Or if they do, they're not very delineated. Mm-hmm. And so part of my path is now, I mean, I've got very strong boundaries around me where I don't take a lot of guff from people. Mm-hmm. But if somebody does something to me, it takes a lot for me to raise my voice. And before I started down this path knowingly, I had a hairpin trigger. You know, I could go from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds.
Wow.
And now it takes me a long time to lose it.
Hmm. How much ownership or responsibility should we be taking in some of these roadblocks that we come across? So for example, if I'm having an issue with a relative where we're not speaking, should I be looking at myself?
Absolutely.
Or, okay.
You always look at yourself because it always starts with you. You're the common denominator. Mm-hmm. And so I had there's a gentleman by the name of Arthur Ford, and Arthur was a world-renowned trans-channeler, and he was up in Lilydale for years. And so he, I go to classes at Delphi University in Georgia, in mm-hmm. McKaysville, Georgia. And so Arthur taught, it's a long story, but how he taught the mother to, you know, who was his assistant in the 60s, you know, how to everything he knew. And of course because once you're taught, it's just basically lighting the ignition and more things will keep coming to you. If you keep meditating, more messages will come. If you're open, more messages will come. And so I had a trans channeling session one-on-one with Arthur. And of course he's gone since 1971 from this earth, mm-hmm. but it was a fascinating conversation. And what was interesting is, like, for example, when your back is out, It's a sign of not feeling supported. Mm-hmm. So you think, okay, where am I not being supported in my life? Is it with my relationship? No, that's good. With my work? No, that's good. Where is it? And he said to me, he goes, Marla, he said, where are you not supporting yourself?
Mm.
And it was like, there was like the big epiphany. So I don't have too much information that I can't learn more. And for me, it was just a wake up call. Like, yes, everything starts with you. Mm-hmm. And it's how you handle it, how you deal with it, how you feel about yourself and showing up. So it's like, where did I support myself? It's like, that's a fascinating question. But the minute I got the question, like within 24 hours, my backache was gone.
Wow.
And it was like, yeah, like that, you know, because I started thinking, okay, where do I need support to support myself and, you know, and hone up myself or hoist up myself. And yeah, everything starts with you.
Yeah, I mean, that reminds me of the book, You Can Heal Your Life. I can't think of the author's name now.
Louise Hayes.
Yes, Louise Hayes, where she has that index in the back with all these physical ailments that are tied to a belief, which underscores your point that it starts with you.
Always starts with you. And even if it's somebody else doing something, it's a question of, why do you feel you deserve to be treated poorly? Like, oh, and here's the thing, a lot of people on a conscious level say, well, I don't feel I deserve it, but there's somehow, even if it's the tiniest little pinhole, somewhere you feel you deserve to be treated ill because somebody's doing that to you.
I mean, that kind of reminds me of the saying that you teach people how to treat you. Is that kind of?
Yeah. Well, in a way, yes. So it's gaining strength yourself. It's learning self-love, self-acceptance, mm-hmm. which we have as humans a difficult time doing. And why do we do that? Because from birth, people are like, oh, how cute. Or, oh, she's got a funny nose or blah, 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 blah. And we take all that in and then we start thinking we're not good enough. And we start going through life this way and trying to live up to our parents' expectations, our teachers, our religious figures. And it's all about going outward, you know, for approval, for acceptance. But the reality of it is, in my world, is you need to go inward and find your own approval, your own acceptance.
So how do you do that? Like what's a practical step to begin to look inward and start accepting and loving yourself? Because that's a tall order. It feels like a tall order for a lot of people.
It is a tall order, but you have to start at the beginning, right? And so first I would say you need to get out all that stuff that you're repressing. Mm. Yeah, because really it sits in your heart and your solar plexus. you know, your lower heart and your solar plexus. And so one of my favorite things is, I just gave my bat away, but I have a kid's bat, a Nerf bat, you know, and I'll go to my bedroom or, you know, a soft surface, a couch, and I will just swing it, you know, just because after about two or three swings, you just start bubbling up.
Yeah.
But somebody else, you know, lives in the woods. She throws plates over her balcony. Breaking plates feels great.
Wow.
Throwing eggs at a tree, rocks in a water, boxing, tennis, anything where you have to exert stress and you can visualize whatever it is that's bothering you coming out. And the second part of it that's really important, the caveat is, don't repress the feelings that are starting to bubble up. Cry, scream, do what you need to do to get this stuff up and out of your system, because that's where disease comes in.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and you'll just end up you'll feel within 15 minutes, you will feel so light and you'll be like, oh my God, I haven't felt, it's like a breeze just came through.
Yeah. It's like when we get upset, we don't feel comfortable with feeling the upsetness in our bodies.
Right.
We do everything we can to avoid feeling it. And I know one thing I do is I will just hit on some pillows or just hit on my bed like this, just to get it out. Like, so when you say like, get it out, if you need to scream, or if you have, you live in the woods, you have a balcony, throw your plates. What if like in the moment, like you're there with someone and they've ticked you off and you feel like going off, and it might not be the most expedient thing to do in the moment. What do you do in that moment?
Slow breathing, 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. The emotion should be over unless you keep feeding it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just slow breathe in and out, you know, you can work through your emotion. If the same thing works for anxiety, the same thing works for fear, because it comes in waves, right? So when you're getting a wave of an emotion, of being hurt, feeling rejected, whatever it might be, if you just sit with yourself for 90 seconds, the feeling should dissipate, and then you can deal with more of it later. But you know, and it's something you can also do in public.
Yeah,
because you know, you're not going to go screaming or beating your car seat in the middle of a parking lot. So.
Or go throwing eggs in the supermarket.
Exactly. Even though sometimes you might want to. Yeah. Like, oops.
Oh my gosh. But that's
one, the first step. And then you go into forgiveness, and which that's really hard. People have a hard time forgiving others.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people have a harder time forgiving themselves. And learning how to do that. And there's so many exercises and steps you can Google how to do it. I mean, I have a lot of ways I do it. I do letter writing. That's one of my favorite ways, where you write to the person and you just let whatever wants to come out, come out. You can swear, you can cuss, you can be as ugly as you want to be.
Yeah.
And then part two is, you can write a response to yourself, but to do that, you need to go into a process. So you clear your mind, you do some, close your eyes, do some slow, deep breathing. And then you just pick up a pen or pencil, whatever you write with, or start typing without thinking the response.
Yes.
You might start with dear so-and-so.
Yeah.
And away you go. And just don't even focus on grammar. Don't focus on punctuation. Mm-hmm. Just let it come out. And then reread both of the letters together, and you'll find that the response really is a response to the letter you wrote.
Yeah, you are speaking my language, Marla. This is what I call free writing, and I'm a big proponent of free writing. It's just, you just write without any, no grammar checking, no editing, just whatever wants to come out, let it come out. Yeah.
It's so important to do that. And then have a ritual, burn it, you know, don't throw it down the toilet because for whatever reason, pipes can't handle the paper. but you can definitely put the paper in water and watch the ink run off.
Yeah.
I love the whole burning process.
Yes. Because, I was going to say, burning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and you may throw pictures or whatever else in, or you could say, you know, as I burn this, I burn my anger, you know, and allow forgiveness to come through. And you can do the same thing with forgiving yourself.
You know, I do the letter writing a lot. Now, I don't send, you're not supposed to send the letter, right?
No.
Like, don't, okay, send the letter. Just to clear that up for that, our watchers, don't send it. But I sit in a chair, and I I write, I just let all my anger out to whomever I'm upset with. And then I get up from that chair and I sit somewhere else. And it's like all the energy is left over there for now until I figure out what to do with it. I just feel lighter. And then I will write a letter of forgiveness to the person and to myself. I write two different letters. And whenever I'm writing that letter to myself, I always start crying. It's just, you know, because it's almost like in all of that anger, I've forgotten that I'm always here for myself. I've forgotten the self-love that I have for myself. I've forgotten how that I do matter.
And, you do matter. Yeah. And we all matter. And we need to remember that's brilliant to do the second part to yourself. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you do need to forgive yourself. And there's so many things that we do. I mean, even we beat ourselves up for losing our temper.
Yes.
And then it's like, oh, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I lost my, you know what? And I started screaming or swearing or whatever it might be. And instead of saying, well, there might have been a reason for you to do that, you beat yourself up and you need to have more self-compassion. People just don't have enough compassion for their own beings.
Yes. Why is that? Is that something we're taught or we pick up from our parents?
Yes. Well, like I said at the beginning, it's our parents, our relatives, our teachers, our religious figures, because of their judgments, their criticisms, their projections onto us. We're trying to fit an ideal. Magazines, media. We're trying to fit an ideal that really is somebody else's ideal. It's not ours.
Mm.
You know, I know that I always heard a different drummer drumming when I was growing up, and it was, you know, in a way it was like I was named eccentric. Well, back in the day, it's like eccentric because I wanted to fit in. Thinking that actually being eccentric is not such a bad thing. It's
Being
the wrong person.
Right. Yeah. It's like we're sleepwalking sometimes through life, not even aware.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, we're so worried about, you know, surviving. And so instead of living, we just try to figure out how we're going to survive. We ruminate about surviving, the more we're on that hamster wheel. And once you step off and realize that things are fluid and you can get things to change, then you are able to look at it a different way. And I think, again, not worry so much about having to survive, that we all need to survive, but you know what I'm talking about, that survival energy rather than the flowing energy, the energy of flow, of living, of joy, you know, of gratitude, being grateful for what you do have rather than being angry for what you don't.
How important is gratitude? Because I don't know why it's so difficult for me to keep up a gratitude journal. And I've heard about, for years, I've heard about the importance of writing down what you're grateful for. And that's something that consistently I haven't been able to do yet. But how important is that?
Gratitude to me is number one. Every morning I say gratitude. Every night I say gratitude. You can write down your gratitudes, but you can say them too. I pray every day. And the first thing I do is I tell spirit what I'm grateful for, which is absolutely everything. But then I sort of like break it down into personal things, business things, you know, the fact that I get to travel, whatever it might be. I'm looking outside and I've got the colors of the leaves changing in front of me.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm just so grateful to be able to see it because it's just incredibly beautiful. And so you can say, you know, if you wake up and when you're taking a shower, say, okay, I'm grateful for soap. I'm grateful for water. I'm grateful my water is warm or whatever temperature you like. I'm grateful I have a towel. You know, I mean, you could just say what you're grateful for. To me, now this is, of course, the way I do things. The fact that I can just say it makes it so. And I say it out loud because there's something about stating things out loud that just increases the vibration to it.
Yes. I've started recording myself, like just an audio recording, like saying affirmations. And I would wake up and just listen to that recording and sometimes listen to it on my way to work. But there is something powerful about speaking it And then yes. for me, it was something, and maybe because it's I'm an auditory learner, something about like hearing my, in my own voice, me stating these statements, like, I am beautiful. I am courageous. And
I'm smart. I'm smart.
Yeah.
Capable. I'm yes. you're fun. I'm funny. Yes. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. I'm a great cook. I'm a great baker. I'm a great decorator. I'm a great sewer. I mean, it just, I could be even a good sewer and be happy with that.
Yeah. That's great. So we kind of touched on this a little bit already, but why is it up to an individual to be in charge of their own self-care?
Well, do you really want to depend on someone else to take care of you? I mean, a lot of people do, you know, in some respects, but really, if you don't take care of yourself, no one's going to take care of you as well as you're going to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
If you get to that point, now you may think people are taking care of you well, but what's in it for them? What's their self? I'm getting these messages that it's like, what's in it for them? Why are people, you know, because a lot of times it's not unconditional. A lot of times when somebody's doing for you, there's something, there's a quid pro quo.
Yeah.
And so with yourself, there's no quid pro quo. You're doing this because you love yourself. You want yourself to be the best person, the best human you can be. And that's healthy. I'm talking about your health, your mental well-being, you know, what you consume, your nutrition, what you consume in reading, what you consume in TV.
Yeah.
You know, you're the person who can control if you're going to be happy or not. And it's powerful when you think about you having control over your well-being. That's a really powerful thing to be able to do for yourself. And a lot of times it's not looked at as a self-power.
No, it's looked at as, it can be looked at as indulgent or looked at as narcissistic. Yeah. But it's so important. Because you can't really depend on everyone else to look in on you. And people are going to see the way you treat yourself. They're going to respond in like manner, right? In like manner. So if they see you not really having self-respect, then why should they respect you?
Well, and don't forget that people are projecting. It's like the stuff we talked about earlier from parents and teachers and religious figures and friends and projecting what they think things should be. So it's all coming from somebody else's perspective and not this perspective of yourself. What do you think you should be? Who do you think you should be? What do you think you should like? Why should you like that? Because your neighbor likes it. You know, not everybody likes fish, but fish is healthy for you, but you find something that works for you instead of doing it because somebody else is telling you that's what you have to do. I mean, look at all the fad diets that are going on. It's somebody else telling you how to eat, how to work out, and what's up for your best good. Hopefully, you take it. I look at it as a sieve. You take all the information and you keep what really resonates with you.
Yeah.
And let the rest go. So if being a keto person or a paleo person resonates with you, God bless, go with God.
Right.
But you're doing it because you want to do it for you, not because somebody else says, this is the one for you.
Sometimes it's so challenging to not want others' approval. So I think that's what a lot of it boils down to is you want people's attention and you want their approval. So you do things that you think will get their attention and their approval. But what happens many times is that you end up doing things that get you the wrong type of attention and the wrong type of approval from people.
It's true. I agree with you 100%. Yeah. And that's why it's so important to take what resonates for your highest and best good, that what you think is good for you. But here's another piece, though. If you don't think highly of yourself, you're not going to make great decisions for yourself. So you have to start, you know, again, looking at your decisions. Are they serving you well? Are they bringing to you what you are really desiring? So if you're desiring a relationship, but yet you bring jerks around, female jerks, male jerks, it doesn't make a difference. You're not people who are not treating you well or right, but yet they keep a space warm next to you. What are you saying about yourself, or how you feel about yourself?
Right. So that's okay. This is interesting because this has a lot to do with the energy that you're putting forth to attract people into your life. But at the same time, these people are part of your reincarnation group. Like, is it possible to break away from people who do not have your best interest at heart, or people who are toxic? And can you avoid these people?
Absolutely. And here's the thing. You can, you know, if you've, like, for example, my first husband and the children I adopted, I feel that I have cleared my karma with them. I've done what I came here to do, cleared my karma. And I am confident there will not be another life with them. I'm confident that this is the last one that I've had to have, because my ex-husband, my former husband, I think we've been in 5 or 6 lives together. And the same with the boys, you know, again, group consciousness, but you play different parts. Sometimes you're just friends. Sometimes you're a teacher, a religious figure. Sometimes, you know, you don't always come back as, like, my ex-husband wouldn't come back as the wife the next time, because I've done my cleaning up. So yes, you can do that.
How do you clear your karma?
Well, I clear my Akashic records through SRT. And so there are other ways you can clear your Akashic records. People read them, they can clear them. By working through the karmic debt with them. But I found out through my charts, and I clear it, and it's like, thank God. You know, I spent years clearing my karma, you know, my Akashic records karma with my husband, my first husband. You know, I mean, I would see and this is before I learned the technique. I think the gal who I learned from, who was my first practitioner, I think I was with her for 10 years, clearing.
Wow. Yeah.
Plus doing my own clearing.
So this is nothing that happens like in a day.
No.
Okay.
I mean, when you think of how many past lives you must have had.
Yeah.
You know, even young souls, you know, have a few past lives if they bring things forward.
You know,
and in all the lives, I mean, we've always been we've been a victim. We've been the victimizer. You know, we play all parts. I look at it like being a human is Greek theater. You know, in the old time Greek theater, they were all men, but they played the woman, they played the child, well, it's the same thing. I mean, our spirit, our light is neutral. And yet we play all the parts, because if we don't, how do we get our education? How do we grow? How do we learn? How do we take it forward with us into another lifetime?
I can't believe we're almost running out of time, Marla. So let's talk about your book, my Sacred Journal, because is this actually, does it, are you actually journaling? Like, is this
a journal. Ooh. With quotes about, so I wanted something. My first book, I'm doing a show and tell, My Effing Long Journey to Loving Myself. So this is a memoir with self-help tips.
Okay.
Tips, exercises that I use to turn my life around and that I continue to use. Not as often, but I still use them. They're tried and true for me. And so I put together this as a tool to be supported with my effing long journey.
Okay.
To giving yourself a guide for a shorter path. I also designed the screen pillow behind me.
Can you talk a little bit about the screen pillow? Because that's so interesting.
The screen pillow is, I love this. I wanted something funny, but I wanted, like, you don't miss where you need to scream, right? It's like, you're not going to go here or here. And if I wasn't wearing red lipstick, I'd do it. You go right there, put it around your face, you scream, you get it out. Because so many people live so close to other people. And if you're going to do primal type screaming for release, you don't want to alarm anybody.
Yes.
I've designed this. We can get on my website, which is Marla Goldberg. And Goldberg is with 2 R's, GOLDBERRG.com. Uh-huh. And so you can order this from me. And then the books you can find on Amazon, and my Sacred Journal is also in Barnes & Noble.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. And so that My Sacred Journal has, do we need both books, or can we work with the journal one separately?
The journal one is separate. I mean, it could be a journal.
Okay.
But I talk about journaling in my book because it's a huge practice. First of all, journaling is a release. It's another form of releasing. And again, you can, and I always suggest doing an anger journal and then your other journal. And the reason being is I don't want my angry energy in my journal. I want, you know, intuitive messages in one journal. I want, if I'm angry and I need to flush, I put it in like a spiral notebook and then you can rip it out and burn it.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
I don't want to keep it. I don't want to keep the energy around. I want to get rid of it.
Right.
So spiral notebooks work really well for the anger journal.
Yeah. Like whenever I was, when I was telling you that I write the angry letter to whomever, I always shred it afterwards.
That's another way of doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Oh my goodness. Marla, this is okay. So do you have any closing words of wisdom? Oh, wait, sorry. Before you talk about your closing words, I know you wanted to tell us about your crowdfunding.
Yes, I do. Okay. I'm so excited. So my colleague, Mike Cavalli, and I are working on the definitive educational, motivational, inspirational platform for self-growth called the Global Consciousness Development Circle, or GCDC. And we've just launched our crowdfunding page on Indiegogo.com. So if you go to Indiegogo.com and put in Global Consciousness Development Circle and press just launched, it'll come up. And you'll see this really pretty logo come up. Oh, and we have lovely perks to go with it. So it's not just, you know, there's a quid pro quo there.
Okay. Okay. So, yes.
So we like to have an exchange.
Exactly. Of course. So we have where we can get your screen pillows. So that's your website, right?
My website, Marla Goldberg with two R's.com.
Okay. And then we talked about the crowdfunding. We can find your book at retailers, most Amazon. Major retailers. Okay. Amazon. And is there anywhere else where we can find you or that you want us to visit?
I would love for you to listen to my podcast because I've got guided, I'm confusing my podcast with my circle. Guided Spirit Conversations with Marla Goldberg, which is on voiceamerica.com. And I also stream it live on Facebook. We have a YouTube channel called Guided Spirit Conversations. So what I do is talk to metaphysicians, healers, spiritual leaders across the globe. And I have them share information and tips, techniques to help you incorporate into your life and ways to make your life live, you know, manage the way you want it, run the way you want it to.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. Okay. So YouTube and do you have a Facebook group?
I have a number of them. I have Spiritual Insights with Marla Goldberg. So every Monday, unless I'm traveling, that's my caveat. I go on live and we just have spiritual conversation. So it's just something that, you know, might come like it might be voting and then, you know, because right now voting is really important. And I don't care who anybody votes for, but we've been given, it's like the fifth chakra, right? That's our voice. And so get your voice out. And for many of us as women, minorities, we, you know, we've had to earn the right to vote. And so to take this right that we worked so hard to get and not use it is like not speaking your voice, not speaking your conscience. So it's really important to get out and really speak your voice.
Right.
Speak your truth.
Yeah. It's really, it's something I think about every election cycle. Like there are people that literally died so that I could have a right to vote. So very important. I never even thought about it being attached to your fifth chakra, but yeah, that's very true. That the voice chakra. So we have all the places that we can find
places.
You. Okay.
I've got a lot of, so we've got Facebook, Instagram, which Twitter. I'm not a Twitter person. I just can't get into
it. I'm a Twitter person, Marla.
Are you?
Yes,
I am. Maybe you can give me direction. I've got a Twitter well.
I love it. But I'm just now getting into Instagram. I'm a new Instagram person.
Okay. Well, I do lives on Instagram too. So I like to go and promote my guests. And so I'll go on and tell people about who's coming because I feel very blessed that I have some really incredible guests on my show.
Me too, Marla. I do that every time after an interview. I'm going to do it after this interview. I go on and I record a video. I just spoke with Marla Goldberg. It was wonderful. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
I'm always blessed by the people I meet because, you know, now that I've changed my life and my the way I see things, I just am fortunate to have the most incredible people cross my path. And
yeah.
I'm always so grateful for that.
Yes. Okay, so
grateful
now
to be here on this.
Yes, I'm grateful show. That you're here. Yes, this is a wonderful conversation. Oh my goodness. So now your closing words of wisdom or encouragement for people who are feeling stress, especially during this election season, as we talked about.
And the COVID season, which many people are just having the hardest time with.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things I want to say. And so the first thing is, consideration, being considerate of yourself, considerate of other people in all aspects. So whether it's everybody has a right to their opinion, let them have it. They own it. It has no bearing on you. I don't understand people who just say, I can't be your friend because you don't think like I do.
Mm.
It's like, well, don't you want to expand your ability to think and have analytical thinking or logical thinking?
Yeah.
And so consideration is really huge. So I always invite people to please be considerate of others. You don't know what people are dealing with.
That's
really important for me. And there was something else that went in my head and then just flew out.
That happens to me all the time. So I'm always taking notes.
God, there was one other thing I wanted to mention, but self-consideration is and consideration for others is huge for me. And be grateful, really, and know, oh, this is what it is. Everything is fluid. And if you just sit long enough, it will pass. So life is fluid. You know, there's nothing that is, the only things that are things you're going to have to do, you're going to have to be born if you've chosen that parent, and you're going to have to transition. You're going to have to die. So in between, you can just flow like a river and live the life you're divinely meant to live. It really liberates you to allow yourself to do that.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Marla.
I really enjoyed that conversation with Marla. And I know not everyone believes in reincarnation and karma, but I think there's something to be said, even if you don't believe that, there's something to be said for being aware. So just being aware of how you're interacting with people energetically, how you respond to people, how people respond to you, and how you also interact with yourself energetically. Like, in other words, how paying attention to your own thoughts and how your thoughts are influencing your actions, are influencing your health, are influencing not only your physical health, but your mental health. Like, all of that is very relevant, whether or not you believe in reincarnation and karma. So I hope that you were able to glean some inspiration or insight from this episode. And I hope that you check out Marla's websites and her book. Also, on Sunday, be sure to visit azazel.com for my big takeaways from my conversation with Marla. You can also sign up for my weekly newsletter at azazel.com. You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Motivation to Write and Twitter at Ebony Haywood. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope to see you next week when I talk to another fabulous guest. Okay, bye-bye.